Hello and welcome to the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. If you haven't listened and subscribed, please check out the newest shows from Walnut Grovecast, Bonnetheads, and the Little House Book Club. They are available from Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or just visit walnutgrovecast.com for more information. As always, these podcasts are free of charge as well as commercial free thanks to the following supporters: Chelsea Wofford, Andre Jarkison, Brian Mellenbacher, Leah Chiappino, Rhonda Ludwig, Kristen Hirsch, Margaret Loviska, Elizabeth Villamagna, Laura Solarin, Julia Schroeder, Leah Mitchell from the Retro TV Podcast, Chris Hassler from the VHS Rewind Podcast, Tanya Weber, Alicia Murphy, Jennifer Jones, Marissa Baker, Kelly Milkey from the Dr. Quincast podcast, JJ Hurley, Robin Lee, Thoy Rodriguez, Matilda Smith Thompson, Angela Bowen from the Looking Back on My Wonder Years, A Wonder Years podcast, Shannon Quinton, Rebecca Harris, Dana Wilkins, Chantel Dubois Nishiyama, Peyton England, Laura Furman, Gerald Lang from the OSI Files podcast, Megan Parker, Chris Cooling from the Forgotten.tv podcast, Melissa Halfpint Gilbert, Teresa Trapp, Valerie Williams, the No Agenda podcast, Sherry Benner, Lydia Kikuchi, Whitney Griggs, Julia Jin, Don Roberts, Susan King, Max Duration, Aaron Wortman, Liz Serha, Brian S., Bobby Young, Candy Gleason, Angie Zadava, Megan Eichner, Katie Bollinger, Jeannie Mitchell, Jeff Griffin, Dean Almanzo Butler, Julia Monin, Whitney Cole, Rebecca Frederick, Anne Quinn, Jill Stellman, Dottie Cashin, Suzanne Holland, Spunky Cheek, Stacy Keller, Matt Mercier, Cheyenne Hampton, Stephanie Carnes, Alicia Olin, Jeannie Comer, Elvira Dubas, Stacy Carrigan. Thank you all for your support. You make this podcast possible. And in my eyes, this is truly your podcast. So if you have any ideas or suggestions, please feel free to reach out to me. If you would like to support Walnut Grovecast, please visit patreon.com/walnutgrovecast. Without further delay, please enjoy the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. Walnut Grove is a place to be. Hello and welcome to Walnut Grovecast. My name is Mark, and I have a very special guest today to help review an episode. You may have heard of her. Her name is Wendy Lou Lee. How are you doing, Wendy?
Hi, Mark. So good to hang out with you today.
I tricked you. I said it was going to be Chick-fil-A coupons, and you clicked the link, and here you are. But thank you so much for doing this. I'm very excited to speak to someone who was so involved in the entire universe of Little House on the Prairie. And I just know that we're going to have a great time talking about this episode. Do you want to talk about the episode that we'll be talking about today?
Oh, me?
Oh, if you want, well, you don't have to.
Yes, sure. We're going to be reviewing the episode, The Most Precious Gift.
Yes.
And was I the most precious gift?
You know, apparently.
I'm not sure about that, but.
You were definitely the focus of a lot of stress.
I know. I was only the most precious gift at the last moment.
Exactly. You know, it's spoiler alert, but You're born in this episode, and in the last 5 minutes is really the only time that we get to enjoy this unnamed child.
Yes, totally unnamed child. But, you know, the other thing that's really funny is that I was born in this episode, but it's not even me.
Well, you know, I wasn't sure. I was, like, Googling you and everything, like, doing my, you know, regular stalking. And I have to say that the baby that they used, because there are two different babies in here. We have the Sims baby and we have the You baby. And the baby kind of looks like you and your sister a little. I don't know. Maybe it's just, like, looking, you know, all babies kind of look alike. But there's something there that I could believe it if you said, yeah, that's me.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I.
Well, how do you know? No, I'm kidding.
I'm trying to think. You know, that baby looks very robust compared to what we would have looked like. Because the next time we're really in it, I guess that next episode they kind of show Grace, but not really, because that's the one I'll be waving goodbye. You know, that one.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, when they move to Anoka, that's our first episode, the first episode of season 5. And this would have been a long time before that. And I think that baby just looks much bigger than what
yeah, that's
we
like
were.
That baby's like 6 weeks old, maybe.
That baby does not look little. Like, does not look like it was just born, unless it was like a 9-pound baby. And I was only 4 pounds something, so.
Hey, Michael, can you find a baby? We need a baby today.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that's funny is that baby is actually a little boy.
Oh, my God. Well.
It doesn't matter.
Well, you know, it's a secret. You know, it's kind of an Easter egg. You know, Charles actually did get the son that he wanted.
That's so funny.
So this aired on February 27th, way back in the 20th century in 1978. Season 4, episode 20. And this is a very memorable episode for a lot of people. I would say this is one of these big, big episodes where we, you know, get the addition of the member of the family. We wonder when they're going to kill her off. We're just not really sure what's going on. And it's just a big one. But I do want to just, as a little bit of a side note before we get totally into the episode, is mention that... you know, you do have a wonderful book that's out. It's called A Prairie Devotional. You can get it on your website, wendyluly.com, or pretty much anywhere. But I would think that it would be kind of cool to go through your website and get it directly through you. That's just me, though. And you're also working on another book coming up. It seems like the book writing bug has bitten a number of previous cast members of Little House. Melissa Gilbert just announced that she's working on a book. You're working on a book. And Karen Grousley has a book that's pretty much done and coming out in a couple months.
Yes.
What's going on there?
It's pretty fun, actually. I think it's neat for the cast to open up their lives and to show and share with fans and the world what Little House is meant to them and shaped them. So yeah, I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, me too. I like that the torch is being carried and it's being, there's always new fans kind of popping up in other countries. And you know, I get emails from people who are listening to my podcast, but it doesn't seem like they speak English, you know, like not by, unless they just choose their own language to send me emails and I have to go to translate. I'm like, can you really follow what I'm saying? I don't think so, but maybe they listen for the clips or something. But so A Most Precious Gift, really sweet episode. We open up. Now, you watched this whole series as an adult, right? When you were working on A Prairie Devotional, was it?
Oh, yes. And I actually got prepared and watched it again yesterday.
Did you find that this episode has a different level of cinematography to it? It's like elevated.
Yeah, it's interesting. Even when like Carolyn walks in the fortune teller's little whatever that little caravan thing is. Like, it's caravan. Interesting with the beads and the...
Oh, my God. Yeah. Like, that was really, really cool.
It was kind of like, oh, this is interesting. Yeah. And even when they're walking into town and she's pregnant with the basket mm-hmm. and the way that it's... I don't know. It's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. When she does go into, as you put it, a caravan, which I think it might be. That might be what it's called. But I think of a caravan like a minibus or something, or a minivan. But... Yeah, when she goes in those beads and everything, it's almost like she's going into like a hippie store or something. You have all of these really interesting shots throughout the entire episode. But we get a lot of landscape shots in this as well. And we open up to your co-star, the character Carrie. And she found a nest, and just as an innocent child might, she scoops up the, I believe they're robin eggs. Not 100% mm-hmm. sure. And she just scoops them up, and she's just so proud to have found them, and she brings them to Pa. So I'm going to play that.
I found!
Hey, what you got there, darling?
Eggs.
Oh, no, honey, you shouldn't have done that. You know, wild birds aren't like chickens.
But I didn't mean anything. I'll put them back.
I'm afraid they're not going to hatch. Be too cold without their mama.
All because of me.
Hey, don't feel so bad. It wasn't your fault. You didn't know.
I know. I'll be their mama.
What?
I can keep them warm under my pillow, then they'll come out.
I'm afraid that won't work.
It'll work, Pa. They never saw their real mama. I'm going to go put them under my pillow right now.
And it's like so sweet in a way. You know, it's like the innocence of a child and trying to fix what she did wrong. So I think it's sweet.
It's like, it's also just like a picture of like every mother's like worries and concerns that they're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can totally relate with like, oh no, what have I done wrong now? My poor child.
And that's it. You know, we look at Little House on the Prairie, and as parents, I think sometimes we, at least I know I do, I'll look at the way the show is written. And the way you present it, and I find on Little House on the Prairie, very often, they're not as blunt and honest sometimes about things. And I found that they were very honest here with just saying, you just basically messed with the eggs to the point where they're not going to hatch. You know, and for some kids, that might be kind of, you know, really upsetting. And I was just surprised. Normally, it's kind of like, oh, we'll fix this, we'll figure out something. And then nobody ever talks about it again.
Well, you know, that's what Jonathan does.
Right, Jonathan is like, I know how to fix this. We're going to lie to her.
Totally. But Charles is like, you know, a little bit more honest. Yeah.
But, you know, he's like the gentle giant. That was one of the things I wanted to bring up to you is, you know, the opportunity is, and if you had any memories of working with Merlin Olsen and how just... Sweetie comes off as on screen just such a nice guy, it seems.
Oh, so sweet. Yeah. You know, I'd love to say yes. It's just that
yeah,
I don't
so
think
little.
I have memories of that. I was just so little.
Yeah.
But my mom does tell me a story about the very last goodbye party, and we're about 5 and a half, I think.
Mm-hmm.
This is about a year after the show was over, and we had a big party dance, and my mom tells us how Merlin came and scooped one of us up, and then Victor French scooped another one of us up, and we were all dancing. And so I, you know, I just wish I had more of those memories, but
well,
I was just too little.
You're too darn little. Yeah, but, you know, at the same time, I think we talked about this last time we spoke, like 2 years ago, but... It must be a trip to kind of see yourself on screen as such a tiny child and kind of growing up to the age of 5. That must be something that you and your sister must find as a unique experience, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy. You know, we were watching the show when we were like 3 years old. So, you know, we're like, that's me. Oh, my God. You know, so... I don't know. It's just kind of always been.
Right.
So,
you can't really appreciate so much if it's never been any other way, I guess.
Right.
So
but no, it's
In the show, we learn Mary, Bossy Mary, is going to be the teacher. She's going to take over for Miss Beetle, Mrs. Sims, who is newly pregnant. And I liked there was a nice little conversation between Caroline and Mrs. Sims. And I thought it was nice. They referenced that they're both about the same age. Caroline is saying that she's so happy that she's just starting out. And it just seems to be kind of a strange little dynamic there. Caroline's almost looking at it as, I'm not going to be having children anymore. It's not really something that's on her horizon. Meanwhile, Mrs. Sims, who's nearly the same age, starting over. I mean, not starting over, but starting out for the first time. Mm-hmm. That was kind of sweet. But yeah, I thought it was fun banter between the Caroline and Charles character in the little house, where Mary is just kind of talking about teaching and everything. I'm just going to play this clip.
Carrie, leave that alone. I just finished those. Mary, how many of these problems am I supposed to do?
Just the first 10. Ma, can you help me with this?
Sure, what do you want me to do?
Pin it up the way you have yours. I'm going to teach. I should look less like one of the students.
Okay, you're already growing up so fast, I can't keep track of you.
Well, she reminds me of a lovely young girl I knew once, name of Carolyn Quiner. I wonder whatever did happen to her.
Oh, didn't you hear? She married a handsome young prince and lived happily ever after.
These two, geez. Like the perfect little family. But yeah, I think it's all like sweet how we're like building up the characters. One of the things that's always coming up, and I'm sure you're not, this is not going to be a memory, but Carrie's wall has been completely ignored in the sense of finishing. It's the only wall in the entire house that has not been plastered, and it's just twigs. And it's like the ongoing joke of, that's why she was so weird on the show, because like she probably had like bugs and stuff crawling on her. But if you watch this scene, you get such a good view of how unfinished the little house was sometimes. But course, they didn't live there in real life, so
it is strange. Right? It's strange that they had it light. I don't know, it doesn't really make sense because everything else was finished, and so I wonder why they did that.
We've been comparing the little house very often to the Cramden's house on the Honeymooners, how you'll have the neighbor's house, which will be the same exact set, but they'll have nice curtains and nicer appliances, and everything just seems a little nicer, which is a similar kind of thing here when, you know, you went to Mrs. Sims' house and everything is just kind of a little bit nicer, or a lot nicer. So, and I understand that they're a poor farmer family, even though they have an extra 10 cents to, you know, to throw at gypsies, but at the same time, it's just one of those things. But I think maybe it's just the ongoing living within your own means type of situation. I don't know.
Sure.
You're like, sure. Yeah, so Charles puts Carrie to bed, and she says goodnight to her eggs, which become this, I guess, a little bit of a subplot. We have the all of this different level of birth. You know, we have Mrs. Sims with child. We have the eggs and you. You're brewing in Ma's belly. Caroline is woken up by Charles the next day. She's kind of sleeping in and kind of doesn't seem to be doing so well. So we're already kind of curious to find out what's her problem. Like, why isn't she her normal self? I thought that this is worth playing. This is Mrs. Sims in the class, and she's just kind of spewing a few fun facts, I guess, about the United States at the time. The
United States and its territories was 38,558,371, not including the Indians.
We get a really funny shot here, too. She stops right in front of Carrie, and Carrie's just staring right at her pregnant belly.
That is such an awkward shot. It's so weird.
And she's unfazed.
Yesterday I was watching it, and I was like, that poor girl's like, her face is almost touching her belly.
It would just be funnier if like somehow she like bumped her with it or something.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's kind of interesting to me to think that, you know, out of, you know, the United States, I believe, were 37 states at that time and 38 million. So it's about Canada's population right now. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of crazy because now we're like 300 and now we're literally 10 times that. Just, I guess, 150 years can really be a boom in population.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, they go on.
Now, of course, we have 38 states following the admission of Colorado in 1876. Now, does anyone know the population of our own state of Minnesota? Yes, Willie.
50,000.
Well, not quite. It's 400,706.
What about Walnut Grove?
Walnut Grove has 127.
Pretty soon it's going to be 128.
Womp, womp. We get it. Now, Mrs. Sims seems pretty pregnant to me, right? I'm thinking she's like 6 months pregnant or something. She's showing.
I think she's more than that.
Right. I thought she was ready to have the kid. I mean, Mary's there, you know, doing assistant work. She's ready to take over. And yeah, at first I was thinking maybe 8 months or something, but we realized that Caroline does not look pregnant, but I don't know. It's a weird timeline. The timeline totally gets screwy. I think that's also something that happens pretty often in the Little House on the Prairie universe. Time doesn't make sense.
Yeah. And you know, the first pregnancy versus which seems almost the opposite, because most of the time your first pregnancy, you don't show, but then more times you're pregnant, the faster you show. So it almost seems like the opposite, where she seems very pregnant, even though it's her first one, and Carolyn is like not showing at all. It seems, because then it almost seems like they have the babies very close together, and I'm like, wait a second.
They seem like they have these babies within a month, maybe even just a few weeks of each other.
Yes. So yeah, the timeline is kind of screwy.
Speaking of screwy, Carrie has a question. Carrie is one of these people that I think the fans get a little bit crazy about. They're like, oh, she's so annoying. I think she's so funny. And I think being a child actor has to be so stressful to begin with. But the character I just think is so expressive and so funny. And later on in the show, I just feel like they were trying to bring the Laura Ingalls character into her, like with the pigtails. And I would have liked to see where that went, but I don't know. I guess 9 years is long enough for any TV series. You'd still be doing it if it was on the air. So Carrie has a question for Mrs. Sims.
Carrie, aren't you going to go to recess?
Do people have babies like birds do?
Well, more or less. They usually have them one at a time.
Mine are much littler than that.
You're what?
My eggs. I got 3.
Oh, I see.
How long till it hatches?
Well, about 9 months.
Carrie, we're waiting!
What's weird there is she looked at her own belly. She's thinking, she's talking about her eggs, Mrs. Sims. She's not talking about you. So she's thinking 9 months for these eggs that are going to just smell atrocious. These are not. It's not going to be a good time.
Yeah, Carrie's a funny character. I don't know how to explain her. You know, she's like innocent and endearing and asks questions that most kids don't ask. But then she has this kind of quirky way of expressing herself, which ends up being kind of like bong bong bong.
But it's like real childlike. It's kind of the things that I'm sure you've gone through with your children, I've gone through, and they ask the weirdest stuff, like,
yeah,
like what are you talking about? But, you know, and it, I don't know, there's something about it that I find interesting. She's kind of like the wild card. She's just, you don't know what's going to come out of her mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Charles comes home, sees Caroline, who's sitting down. God forbid she's sitting down. And we get another shot of the little house that I've never seen before, where we're getting almost like as though the camera tripod is set up in the kitchen viewing out. So it's just another one of these shots where it doesn't look like their house. But she's not feeling well. He's just, you know, what maybe most husbands would say. It's like, let's go check it out. put your mask on. And but she's very apprehensive, and she does what I would probably do and say, oh, come on, I feel fine already.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'll just take some ibuprofen. I'll be fine. We go and we see Doc Baker, and I'm going to play the scene. It's really kind of cute, the banter between Doc Baker and Caroline.
What you're going to say, I don't really want to hear it, but Charles insisted.
Tell me what you think is wrong, Carolyn.
Wrong? Nothing. I'm just not 18 anymore. It's pretty obvious, isn't it? I'm going through the change.
Aren't you rather young for that?
Well, it happens.
So that's your diagnosis, is it?
Yes.
I got a lot of patients who think they know more than I do. Now, I guess they could save a lot of money by figuring out their own ailments. Well, there's only one problem. They're never right.
Never.
Ailments? Then there's something wrong.
Nothing that 9 months won't cure.
And we get like the patented Little House in the Prairie. Diddling!
Yeah.
It's like the light bulb pops. And she just freaks out. She's like so happy about this, of course. It's just one of those moments where, I don't know, we love these characters so much from a fan point, and I'm sure you fell in love with these characters on a whole different level as an adult, but of course you have such a, not a literal kinship, well, I guess maybe like a physical kinship to this entire brand and all the people who are involved in it. Yeah. But yeah, I think we enjoy these characters so much, so when we kind of rejoice right next to them and maybe even associate certain positive things in our lives right along with them. Or not.
Yeah, I think that Carolyn, she's one of those who really like wears her heart on her sleeve in Little House. And we can see that she's like nostalgic talking to Mrs. Sims and like kind of even wanting what Mrs. Sims is about to experience. But then you see that like kind of not poor me, but a little bit like with this interaction with Dr. Baker, it's like she just, you know, expects the worst kind of, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes we do that as people, especially when we see somebody else getting what we kind of secretly wish we could have, you know.
I mean, it's human nature to be a little bit envious of of other people. I mean, the grass is always greener on the other side. And
yes.
And you know, and when you want something so badly and it's just one of these things that might be out of your control, you can't help it. I just think it's human nature. And I think that, you know, that definitely resonates with a lot of people. Now, not looking at Karen Grassley, but how old do you think the Caroline character would be in the show? Not really so much the actual Caroline Ingalls, but how old do you think she would be in this episode? If you just had to put a number on it. I'm thinking late, like 38 or something.
38?
I don't know why.
No, I guess I was thinking younger than that, just because they had children so young.
But to go through menopause at such an, to even think it's menopause. Even at 38
would seem really young. I know, but maybe, I don't know. Yeah, that's, I think maybe that's why Dr. Baker's thing is like, isn't that a little young? Like, I would never think that I would go through menopause at 38. That's pretty young.
Now, a man putting an age on a woman is probably the worst thing I could be doing. But I'm just thinking the reason why I chose 38 is because she's even thinking it could be that. And I don't think, I mean, 38 would be just still would be extremely young for menopause. Not that
yeah.
I, you know, it, so it's just a weird thing. But if the menopause thing was not brought up, the change wasn't brought up, I would say maybe 33, 34 would be.
I think me too. Yeah. Because, you know, Mary's like, what?
15, 16?
15, 16 at the oldest. Actually, mm-hmm. I don't even think she's, because I'm thinking the next season is when Well, you know, time is irrelevant in TV. Yeah, I would say, yeah, like 30, 32, 33 maybe. And that seems far too young to be going through menopause.
Right. I mean, let's say she had Mary when she was 18, 19 years old. She would be brought right in the early mid 30s. And mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm just throwing numbers around. That's what the show's about. It's about people are like, what do you don't know what you're talking about, Mark. It's like, I know. So Laura shared the information. Everybody's just kind of excited. And we get Patrick Laborteau on the screen, which is always kind of an interesting character, the Andy character. And I really like his character because just like Carrie, you don't know what's going to come out of his mouth. He's somebody who just kind of, his character just speaks. And I think that it's almost like the purpose of his character is just kind of be a little bit more of a rough and tumble, another wild card. Like you have no idea. And that's where I think Albert also fulfills a certain need that the show had in the future. Of course, your future brother.
Need any more nails?
No, I'll be finishing soon.
How come your mom's having another baby?
Why not?
Well, she's got three of you. Still, you're all girls. I suppose your pa wants a boy.
What's so great about boys anyway?
Well, can you fix a barn roof?
Sure. Can you have a baby?
And she drops the mic. You know, it's pretty much. People go to that quote all the time. It's a really, really well-written quote and moment that the Laura character had. And it's really quick-witted. So another reason why we love Laura, right?
Yeah. She's very quick to point out the obvious.
Yeah, you're right. You know, it's funny, too, because I could see Charles saying that to her. Maybe she's just stealing it from his character. So when you were having kids, did you ever have a preference? Like, oh, I definitely want to have a boy, or I definitely want to have triplets, or I definitely want to do this or that. It's a personal question. You don't have to answer, actually.
I mean, obviously, I wanted to have twins, but that wasn't in the cards for me. So I wanted to have twins, but that's it. We never even found out what we had. We just wanted it to be a surprise because I think
it's fun, so too, right?
There's not very many surprises in life.
Sure. And
that's like one of the really huge surprises, which I think is so funny when Charles and Carolyn are in bed and it's like, well, what would you want to have?
Right.
What would you want to have? And it's just interesting how, you know, we really, that's one of the things we do not get to decide.
You're right. And it's silly to get upset over it. And that's one of the things that just kept on popping in my head throughout this episode when Caroline is getting upset about it. We thought we were having a daughter. And then when he was born, I was like, well, that's not a girl. And so that was interesting. So we it's just a weird type of situation to be in. And I agree. I don't know if I mentioned this. My father, who passed away, but he was a twin. And in his family were two sets of twins. He had sisters who were identical twins. And him and his brother were identical twins.
That's cool. Well, my older sister had twins.
Wow. Really?
And we always say that they're not identical, though. But we always say that she deserved to have twins because she had to put up being the older sister of twins, and not just twins, but like the baby Grace twins.
Oh my God.
So she really deserved the attention that you get with having twins. So
I don't know. You have to put quotes around deserved. No, but it's definitely an interesting thing. Two of my closest friends growing up were identical twins. I don't know. I have a lot of twins in my life. And it's always an interesting, well, you know this. It's kind of an interesting dynamic between y'all. That's second time a New Yorker is seeing y'all in one podcast. People are, it's hurting their ears. So yeah, they're going back and forth and Charles just says, okay, yeah, I'll admit it. I would like to have a boy. You know, let's mix it up a little bit. It's kind of like going to a Chinese food restaurant and always getting the same food. It's okay. But, you know, he also gave the right answer. He just wants a healthy child, which I think I would say most people, that's all they care about. It's all I care about.
I think Carolyn just had all this pressure.
Yeah.
And it was only her putting it on her, but that pressure was so heavy on her, you know, and not that she could do anything about it. And I think, like, your heart just breaks for her feeling like when she's praying to God out by the, by Charles Jr.'s grave, it was just like that, the pressure she puts on herself is just,
Too much that anybody should.
So heavy. Yeah.
Now, I'm Jewish, and in the Jewish culture, it's considered a blessing to have your firstborn child be a boy. It's just one of these things. And, you know, it just doesn't make sense to me. It's really one of these things that goes back 5,000 years. But, and it's called a binyan haben, I believe. And it's just a matter of having a baby and have it be a boy, and it's a firstborn boy. But I just guess that tradition also kind of goes over to so many other cultures and religious people. But I understand it, I guess, historically. People want the big, strong man. But it just, yeah, it's really kind of silly to me. It's very old. It's an old way of thinking, and I don't see it happening so much anymore. People love having whatever they're having.
Yeah, I agree. I think maybe back then it was the whole passing on the Ingalls name. And I can see that, you know.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
I came from a family of girls. We have four girls in our family, and wasn't up to us to pass on the family name. You know?
Yeah.
So I just think that's definitely changed over, you know, generations of that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But talk about pressure, man.
Yeah, it's not like picking a color of a car. It's literally something that you have no control over.
When I think she kind of felt like she was letting Charles down, and like, I'm sorry, but back then, I guess he didn't realize that the sex of the baby depends on the sperm.
Right. So it's kind of Charles's fault.
It's kind of up to him.
Yeah. Take that, Chuck. Yeah. But yeah, of course they didn't know, you know, how DNA works and how things are decided. I still think it's kind of a mystery, but yeah, I forgot about that. I forgot that the men determine the outcome from the beginning. That's interesting. So
maybe Grace taught you something, Mark. Wow, I'm so impressed.
You get the bell. Yay. So we get to meet a really interesting character named Madame Maria. She refers to herself as a word that I could not find the definition of. A chiraminist. Chiraminist? It's written on the side of her her minivan. And I just could not. I found a number of references to it, and it's in books. I just can't find an actual definition. But she's essentially like kind of like a fortune teller, gypsy type of palm reader.
Mm-hmm.
Fun lady. We've never seen her before. We'll never see her again, which usually means on Little House, as you might know, is she's probably going to die at the end. But spoiler again, she doesn't. She just kind of vanishes. She takes her 10 cents and leaves.
Yeah.
Bandit knew this. Bandit took the food from her. She's cooking food and steals the food. She meets Laura, and they just have this kind of fun relationship, this fun conversation. Laura's clearly creeped out by how much information that this woman seems to have. And, you know, it's a fun little scene. You know what?
It's so funny too, because when they have this conversation and Laura thinks that she knows all this, it's just because Laura basically told her. It's so funny. I'm like, oh, she just doesn't even get it.
Right. And the same thing with Caroline in a way. I mean, you're here for a reason. It reminds me of Pee-wee's Big Adventure, when he's looking for his bicycle and he goes to the fortune teller and it's like, you are looking for something. It's like, yes. And he just throws her all his money. But yeah, it's a fun little scene, which we don't normally get into any of that in this universe, but it's a really kind of really off the regular focus of what Little House is normally all about. We don't get too much mysticism, I guess.
Yeah.
So let's see. Ma meets the fortune teller and decides to come in. That's where we get this really cool scene where these candles and beaded curtains, you feel like you're in somebody's dorm in the 1990s. And that's the way I felt. And she's gazing into her crystal ball. I'll play a little bit of that.
The roots of your family are planted far from here.
Yes. Wisconsin.
You may expect the visit of one of its female members following the birth of your baby.
Is it my mother? She'd love to see him.
That is unclear.
So it goes on and on. Now, this is something that people really believed, where you would put a ring on a gold chain, and depending on the movement of the ring in front of your pregnant belly, it would determine the sex of the child. Seems right, right? Seems scientific enough. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because they... is it that she wants to tell Carolyn what she wants to hear?
Mm.
Because she knows she has three daughters. And, you know, obviously her... her prediction was wrong.
Yes, yeah, totally.
So I don't know if that's like, you know, Little House saying something.
You should have gotten a receipt, Caroline.
I know.
And also when she said, give me your, I believe, wedding ring, I was just thinking, you're a scammer. You're just going to take the ring and run or something. Or you're going to swap it with something made of wood. And that's my New Yorker in me. I'm like, I'm not giving you my jewelry. You nuts. So, yeah, well, clearly you are going to be a boy, Wendy. So
clearly.
Clearly. So Caroline has this face, though, when she has the ring kind of floating in front of her, where she just looks so annoyed. She's just completely annoyed. Now, adjusted for inflation, the 10 cents that this for entertainment prediction session is about $2.60. So not a terrible amount of money if you think about it. I would imagine it would cost a lot more nowadays if you went to a fortune teller. But after that scene, you know, Caroline, I think anybody telling you that this is going to be the outcome, you kind of believe them a little bit. A little too much. You give people too much, not you, but people in general give others too much credit. And,
well, especially when you want it to be what they say it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like confirmation.
Yeah. Now, to break up all of this, we get a funny little singing moment with Harriet Olsen, which is just, I don't know, it's just always amazing comic relief. The entire Olsen family is pretty much there for incredible comic relief. So I'll just play some of that. That's just the end of that little scene. But I do want to mention, again, we get this, you know, really large shot where you see the entire scene. You see so much property. We don't normally get... Everything's usually close up on this show. So,
born like a
so it's just kind of hilarious.
I just love the fact that very often actors and actresses can take themselves out of being serious and just kind of have fun with the moment. And that's really what it seemed to be across the board with so many of the people who acted on the show. People were willing to do whatever it took to, I guess, sell the character. And, I don't know.
Definitely Catherine McGregor.
Yeah, definitely. Caroline brings in her eggs and she realizes that she didn't take out the eggs that she needed, and she leaves like 3 eggs or 4 eggs behind, which is just kind of crazy. Somebody pointed out, though, that normally she only gets like 40 cents for the eggs. So I guess that's 25% of what she just spent on the fortune teller. So I guess it is a pretty good waste of money just to give her a lot more stress.
Right. One more thing to kick herself in the end, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, all right, here we are. We're back at the little house and we're just kind of talking. And I'll just play the scene and it'll speak for itself.
I resist. She's such a funny lady.
Where do you hear what she said?
It's nothing much, really. It was the hocus pocus that was fun.
Oh, come on, Ma, tell us.
Well, she took my wedding ring and she hung it on a chain and then she held it up in front of me.
Just the music is really great. And Carrie has such a great little line here. And this is another one of the reasons why I love the character so much.
You'll never guess what happened.
What happened?
It began to swing back and forth across in front of me.
So what?
Well, it means that Ma's gonna have a boy.
Oh.
That's what she said. Silly, isn't it?
You bet it's silly. Can't imagine you spending hard-earned money for that.
Well, it was only 10 cents.
Charles, I don't know, a little dismissive, not really getting it that, you know, she wants to provide this boy. Too bad. It's going to be a pretty girl.
So, yeah.
It's out of your hands.
Yeah, Carrie is very captivating. In that scene, she's just completely enthralled,
like wide-eyed, like what happened.
Now
Mary Ingalls, I would imagine, would be one of these teachers that would be mean to me when I was in elementary school, and it comes from scenes like this.
I'm returning some of the papers you turned in last week. Don't get too excited. They weren't very good.
How come I got a D? I wrote what you told me.
Well, you may have, Willie, but I couldn't read your writing.
That's not fair. What do you expect me to do?
Practice would help.
I don't like Mary's tone. I just have to say it.
Oh, yeah. She's not nice at all. She gets that age where she thinks she's better than everyone, and then she just gets mean.
Yeah, now she's grading people. Like, you have their lives in your hands. She loves this power. She's gone crazy with power.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just the whole thing. Mrs. Sims, who appears to be a little bit more pregnant, right? I mean, the last time we saw Caroline, she was clearly showing that, you know, more than a baby bump.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mrs. Sims doesn't look any more pregnant to me. So,
no, she doesn't. There wasn't a bigger pillow, you know?
No, there wasn't. They might even be sharing the same pillow, for all I know.
Maybe.
How many pillows do we have a budget for? And so, yeah, she's writing a math equation, and she's like, I can't do this. I got to go home. And she makes her way over to Doc Baker's. Alice shows up and reports what happened.
I was supposed to be doing an errand for the post office, but I had to tell you the news.
What happened?
Eva had her baby about an hour ago. Matthew Adam.
So it's a boy.
Oh, it looks just like his pa. She's so excited. She said she can't wait for you to stop over and see him.
I'm so happy for her.
Caroline, are you all right? You look a little peaked.
Just a bit tired, that's all.
You get yourself some rest. It's your turn next. Well, I gotta run. I'm already late, but I knew you wanted to know.
So I thought that this was a weird scene because the character that's been developed over all of these seasons just wouldn't think that would act like this. you know, she doesn't know what the sex of her baby is. I mean, there's no for sure. So, I don't know. It's just kind of an odd little moment.
Yeah, I think it's odd. I think it's also like what jealousy can do to you. You know, you can be totally one way and then, you know, that's just, it's weird that she would, you know, all of a sudden be a little resentful of Eva, you know, but
yeah,
sometimes that's what jealousy does. It's a destructive thing. It's a very nasty thing that goes on inside of us. And yeah, because that's not her at all, you know. And then when they go to the church, which I'm probably skipping ahead for you, but when they go to the church and then she sees the baby, then all of a sudden you see the Carolyn that we know melt back because she's just like, oh, he's beautiful, you know?
Right. She puts the pettiness aside and realizes
that
it's a blessing to just have a baby. And yeah, it's a weird one. It's definitely a weird type of thing, but maybe it's a very honest depiction of the way people might be in the situation.
I think so. Yeah.
Hmm.
But, I think so. You know, especially, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not a man, but I do know that women can get jealous of, you know, especially when it's concerning their kids and, you know, there's so much comparison with, your children and how well they're doing or how they're not doing. Mm-hmm. And if they're walking first and if there's all those weird things of, you know, my baby already started crawling and, you know, all this stuff. And, you know, back then it was really, you know,
yeah, it's weird.
A boy to carry on the family name, you know? So I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. We that can get first petty year
moms.
Well, and fathers, I mean, you know, it's that first year of having a child is so competitive. It's like, yeah, my kid is walking. It's like my kid's not even sitting up, you know?
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's just kids develop so differently. And, you know, I think of like first grade and second grade and how the competition has brought right back to the front. I mean, it's kind of tapered off at that point because your kid is finally walking and talking, but they go back to school and it all comes back like a tidal wave from the teachers. It's like, oh, well, he's not drawing a perfect circle. It's like, all right, now that I look back on that, it's how I realize that perfect circles aren't that important.
No, they're not.
I was worried for no reason.
Yeah.
But Ma's going through a painful conflict, which I'm sure this is a very honest, I'm going to go with it's honest. And she's just going through this, maybe going through it alone, really, because Charles really isn't seeing her side of it at this point, because he might want a boy, but he kind of doesn't care when at the end of the day. So this is going to be a little bit of Mob having a bit of I hate calling stuff like this a meltdown. It's more of just an emotional outpouring of her feelings. Yeah, that's better. That's a little bit more accurate.
She doesn't need a son. She already has Luke.
What difference does it make?
It makes a difference. You said so.
Oh, now, come on, now. That isn't fair. We were joking. Now, we have a wonderful family.
We don't have a son. We will, Charles. We will.
Don't know that for sure.
I know. I do.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't imagine wanting, you know, this thing that you have no control over and forgetting. And that's all that's happened, is she kind of forgot about the fact that it's a living person one way or the other. But all right, so she goes to the grave. It's a really picturesque scene, and she's just praying to God. And it's just, you know, I hate to say she's praying for the wrong reasons, but I think she's praying for the wrong reasons.
Oh, she is praying for the wrong reasons, totally.
And she, if she, yeah, I could see Caroline almost lecturing Mary or Laura in a future episode where they're pregnant over the same exact type of thing.
Yeah,
totally. She needed a visit from her mother. But of course, when her mother does visit, she passes away. So that I just watched that episode and we just reviewed that. That is an episode I completely forgot about. And that is a very, very tragic episode.
Oh, so sad. Yeah.
But that's one of those situations where the pain of losing somebody is kind of overshadowed by having to take care of the other person who's there, you know, dealing with her stepfather.
Yeah.
Yeah. So because a lot of people would criticize and say, well, I think the character got over it too quickly, but it's you don't have time to mourn when this other person is so in pain, even more in pain than you are. So, or you're just in the same type of pain.
Right.
But now we're at the church and it's a real young baby. I would say that this baby is far younger than you.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to refer to it as you. And I was even wondering if it was the same baby, but I don't think it's the same baby. Although it would make sense if they did. But here we go.
Oh, Carolyn, I've wanted to see you. It's been ages.
I know. I'm sorry. Oh. Eva. Oh. Eva.
Oh. I know, I can hardly believe he's real. But he's mine.
But you're right. In this scene, it's just Caroline just... It goes away. She hits the reset button. So it's very sweet.
It's very sweet because then you go, okay, she's back. She's, right. She's still there. She's just dealing with her internal struggle, and but she's still Ma.
Exactly. We get this kind of a rare argument a little bit, which I'm going to play just because it is an argument between Caroline and Charles. Here we go. She's in the barn and she's looking at this really nicely crafted cradle. A rocker. I'm not really sure. Yeah, cradle, right?
Hi.
Like a bassinet.
Yeah, I would say it's, yeah, definitely a bassinet.
Remember when you made this?
Yeah. I'm sure I do.
Sometimes we're all sitting around the dinner table and I feel like someone's missing. Now that place will be filled by our son.
Why do you have to keep saying that all the time? Our son, I mean, we don't know it's going to be a boy.
Because I want a boy. For you.
Well, I don't. Not if it means 9 months of misery.
You made this cradle for our son.
Carolyn, I made the cradle for our child.
You want a boy. I saw you with Andy, working together.
Exactly. If I want to hire somebody to work on the farm, I hire him. I don't have to father him.
You don't understand.
All right, what if you weren't pregnant? What if you weren't pregnant? Then we wouldn't have anything to worry about, would we? Carolyn, when we had the girls, all we cared about was having a healthy baby. That's all.
Well, of course I want him to be healthy.
Him!
So, yeah, I mean, they're having... We don't see this normally on the show, I think. And I think that this is also a very honest argument. A lot of honesty in this episode. See what you did? The introduction of your character... has elevated the show to new standards.
Oh, boy.
You can quote me on that. So I do think that it's a very honest argument. I think it's a little bit weird for them to have kept the bassinet. being that it's attached to so much of a negative memory for them. You know, I don't think that Caroline was intending to have more children. And it's, I don't know if it would be really the kind of thing that you would pass down to another generation because of the emotions that are associated. So, I don't know.
And yet, you know, they are a poor family. So, mm-hmm. And the thing is, she is still really young. So, who's to say she wouldn't have more children? I mean, they have children until they don't have children anymore.
No? Yeah, I mean, nowadays we've put this, you know, this deadline, right? That's, you know, mm-hmm. but yeah, in reality, I mean, women were having children until they, like you said, could no longer have children. So yeah, there's no deadline. So, mm-hmm. But you're right. And I do think that she would have easily another several years of like becoming a mother over and over again. Who knows? I mean, to 1878 standards.
Right.
Charles goes to Jonathan and asks, can the girls stay with you? Because we have to work this out, which we've also never seen on the show. Kind of like, we need to have this. And I think it's a mature decision, you know, get the kids out. And I was wondering, do you think Mary was roped into that?
Yeah, it's kind of strange because Mary goes too, but Mary's so old.
Yeah. Get your own
it's
place.
Kind of like she's getting babysat by, it's like one of her students' kids. It's kind of weird.
Right. It's kind of like, hey, Andrew's not doing so well. So maybe we can work on that. Maybe we can get an A plus, maybe, for, you know, room and board, you know. That'd be an awesome conversation to have.
And then it just is funny that immediately the baby's coming and you're like, you wouldn't think that it just so conveniently happens that they're gone for the birth, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's like the convenience, the convenience factor for the Ingalls is it's always perfectly timed for the worst possible thing to happen. It's what is that called? Murphy's Law. If something's going to happen, it's going to happen at the worst possible time. Something along those lines. I'm paraphrasing.
Well, I think what it does is it tells them that it's convenient in the way that it's going to get the kids out of the house so they can work on it. But then they also save how do you have the birth scene with the kids in the house because that's random and awkward and weird.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the first birth that, you know.
You put up a curtain.
Yeah, but it's also, I think, this neat thing that the doctor doesn't come and deliver the baby. It's Charles. And so there's this kind of different magic moment of that, which is interesting. And then it's is like Charles gets to be the one that hands over yeah. this most precious gift to Carolyn. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's interesting.
While I think that delivering your own child must be an incredible spiritual uplifting experience, it's not something I would be interested in being solely responsible for. I don't know if I could handle that personally.
Oh, no, I don't think so either. I think that
but she's
how long does it take to go to town and get the doctor? I can understand not wanting to have the baby by yourself either. Right. So,
but she says, I'm just going to play. It's only 10 seconds, but
it's almost time.
I'll get Dr. Baker.
No,
not him. Anybody but Doc Baker. He'll give me morphine.
Stay with me. Just be with me.
So, I mean, you're right. I mean, it feels like they're maybe 2 miles away. So, I mean, they could probably be back and forth in 20 minutes, 25 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But I also understand not wanting to be left alone. Because when you leave people alone on Little House on the Prairie, bad things tend to happen as well. She totally knows.
This is her fifth pregnancy. So, you know how fast it can go.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, yeah, it is her fifth pregnancy. Yeah, I keep forgetting about that. I count the four girls, and then I forget about the baby that we were just looking at the grave of. But Yeah, I'm the youngest of five. So, I mean, I could just imagine how easy it was when I was born. I'm sure none of it's easy. So one of the things that Jonathan did is he took Carrie's eggs because Carrie's saying, these are my eggs, and they're going to hatch one day. Jonathan just so happens to have, a nest with baby birds in it. He does a little swapsy, and Carrie goes and leaves in the middle of the night. This is a total Ingalls disaster waiting to happen, like knocking a lantern over, falling down an air shaft. Who knows what's going to happen with this girl? She's not learned a lesson. But yeah, she goes up and she sees the baby birds.
I'm a mommy.
And that's her winning line right there. And the birds are all there and they're cute, very pink. We get the baby's delivered. I mean, it's nighttime now. Well, let's just assume a few hours went by. And we also coordinate the Carrie seeing the birth of her birds with the birth of you all, with you and your sister. So let's just, I'm going to play that. I'm sorry, what?
Oh, I was just going to say, it's so funny how when they write this episode, they want it to like everything to chime in to everything works.
Yeah.
You know, Miss Sims has to be having her baby at the same time with Carolyn and the baby birds. And it's like, they all actually have to happen at the exact moment. It's like I came into the world right when the baby birds, when Carrie saw them, you know?
I'm going to guarantee there was a discussion before they even wrote the script saying, look, what we're going to do is have them both go into labor at the same time. And they'll be right next to each other. And we'll have the gender reveal, you know, and it'll be a big thing. Like, no, we can't do that.
Yeah.
All right. So Charles is cleaning up the baby and we hear the crying, and here's the big, bringing the baby to the mom.
Charles, is the baby all right?
By the way, Karen Grassley looks excellent for a woman who just gave birth.
Yes.
Not barely sweating.
The baby's just fine.
If this was me, I'd be out of breath. I'd be panicking. What did I just see? I can't believe I just had to go through this. Oh, my God. You know, thank God the girls aren't here.
I'll show you in a minute, just washing up.
But it's all right, isn't it?
I told you the baby's fine.
And they know the viewer wants to know, right? I mean, they're referring to the baby as it. They're just not telling us.
She's fine. She ought to be. She looks just like her mom.
So many men probably stole that line, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to... Let me write that one down. That's going to be a good one. So we get this, like, the beaming love of having a healthy baby, you know, regardless of whether it's a boy or a girl. And I just think it's a really sweet way to present it, that they just, it's all gone. Like, there's no more stress. It's almost as though she would believe that she was just a fool for the way she was acting. We get the classic patented voiceover at the end to just kind of finish everything up.
We didn't learn until years later about all the worry Ma went through, but it wasn't important, she said. Because we were all blessed by the coming of baby Grace.
Wee, and there you are. Sort of. Your character, anyway. Do you know who the baby is?
You know, it's so funny because someone asked me that and I didn't know. And somebody said, I'm going to find out. It was a fan. And they actually found out and I never wrote it down. So I don't even know who it is, but I really should know who it is. I don't know who the little baby boy was.
Well, I bet if a fan found it, it's out there somewhere. So if you're listening to this podcast and you happen to know who the original Grace was, who was a boy, please let us know.
Yeah.
It'll be somebody like, I don't know, like River Phoenix or something. somebody who was born and grown up in like Hollywood or something. But
it wasn't somebody that I recognized. Like, it wasn't a name that I was like, oh, you know.
Right, right. It was probably somebody who worked on the show who happened to have a kid. And
probably.
Yeah.
The last minute. Oh, can you bring Junior in for 3 seconds?
You know, what's interesting is these days we would know who the baby was, probably be in the union. Like, it just, she cried. She's in the union.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just think it's a really sweet episode. When is you and your sister's birthday?
August 13th.
Okay. So it's not May 23rd, which is when the real Grace Ingalls was born.
No, but we are 100 years apart. So I was born in 1977 and the real Grace is 1877. So we're like
close enough.
Pretty close. Yeah.
That's awesome though. It's those little details that I think that are really just a part of the whole universe of Little House. And yeah, I do think that this was a great episode. This was your choice. This was your episode that you wanted to discuss. And I don't know, I think it was a winner. I think that this is also a great first episode for people to just kind of dive into. I don't always think that all the episodes are perfect for first-time viewers.
Yeah, I think what I like about this episode is that sometimes we get what we didn't think we wanted and then realize that in fact, we wanted it, you know, like, it's just one of those like things in life where you're like, so against something. I tell this to my kids all the time, like, just like, go with me on this one. Like, it's gonna be okay, you know? And we get so like bent a certain way that like, I don't want a little girl, you know what I mean? Like, I want a boy. And then all of a sudden you go, oh, like I would say, like, God just knew what he was doing. Like, Grace was who Grace was supposed to be. And, you know, the little boy that the Ingalls were supposed to have was not a boy by birth. And there's so much like wonderful lessons that the son that came into their life was like a son that they adopted instead of being born to. So like, I don't know. I'm just one of those. It's like, just trust the universe. Trust that.
I agree with you.
What's supposed to happen is supposed to happen.
Well, what you said earlier, how you didn't find out the sex of your child. You wanted to wait for it because there are so few things in life that are genuine surprises. And when things aren't, they don't go by the perfect plan and everything. You know, I think humans are just where it's ingrained in us. We have to have to-do lists. We have to know exactly what we're doing tomorrow. And everything has to be so scheduled. It's okay to just... it is what it is, I guess. And the big picture is, of course, a healthy child in this situation. So, well, Wendy, Luli, I want to thank you so much for coming on here and letting me steal over an hour of your time today, this morning.
Oh, it's so fun. I love hanging out and talking about Little House and... thanks for having me.
Yeah, and you are working on another book. Is it okay if I mention the title or the working title? Big Time Grace, which just sounds like a cool title. If it's anything like a prairie devotional with putting your heart and soul into it, I think that it will absolutely be a winner.
Yes. Well, it's the book I thought I was going to write before the devotional. So I'm very excited about it, and it's told in a little bit the same way, but it's not a devotional. It's really just a big collection of stories about grace. So
that's awesome. Yeah. Well, good luck with that. Everyone will be absolutely waiting with bated breath when we hear that there's a release date. And you can follow Wendy's writing and her blog and all the cool stuff that she does online by going to her website, wendylulee.com. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. And again, thank you so much for doing this. It's a real honor to have, for one, you just seem like the nicest person in the world. But that aside, leave all that unimportant stuff over there. But you being a part of the Little House on the Prairie universe and growing up there, it's just a real honor to have you on the show. I really appreciate it.
You are so welcome, Mark.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting Walnut Grovecast by heading over to patreon.com/walnutgrovecast.